Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. Robert Digital enters Logic and Flopsy. Fastest intro ever.
Wow.
Getting
good.
It out
that
of
was
the
impressive.
Way. Yeah. I just figure, you know, hey, why drag it on?
Yeah, let's get right to it.
Right
to the meat.
So, what's been going on, guys?
Yeah. A little League of Legends. A little Insurgency.
Mostly. That was most of my week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
League of Legends and Insurgency.
Maybe a little WoW here and there.
A little WoW. Is that starting to, like, decline, or are you still going hard with the WoW?
I'm one of those players that I try not to overdo things, so if I'm not feeling it, I don't feel obligated to go in, and I know a lot of people, you know, it's like dailies and weeklies and all sorts of things that they feel obligated they have to go in and do. I try not to let that do that. I want my gaming to be my fun time, not my work time, you know? So
yeah. That being said, how many hours you dumped in a week? Last week
I probably put in 15 to 20 hours, but this week I maybe 4 or 5.
Because I would call him on Skype and say, hey, it's time for League of Legends.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he's like, oh, why do you want to play League of Legends? I was like, I got to get you off that game. And he starts laughing at me like, what? You're the one who gets addicted to games.
Smite for, what, 9 months? Over a year straight?
Yeah, over a year.
Every day I'd come home and you'd be sitting on that game playing Smite.
Which, by the way, we played for, like, what, 3 hours the other night?
Yeah.
And good fun.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a game you can still put down, though. WoW kind of gets a good grip on you.
Well, WoW puts so many hooks in. Like, you know, you got the weekly raid lockout, so you feel like you're obligated. You know, so it's got... Whereas Smite, like, you've got the first match of the day bonus, but other than that, it's not...
The only thing you can lose, really, is skill from not practicing.
Yeah. Which I definitely did.
Bobby put it best. I'm either going to be a PC gamer or a Smite player.
Yeah.
Because that's how much... If you play a game like that, and this goes across the board with all MOBAs and stuff like that, if you want to play a game like that, your natural instinct is to want to be the best, or at least the best you can be. And that just takes hours and dedication. And I'm kind of digging. Like, I didn't think I was going to dig Insurgency, but I did a lot.
And well, you didn't. When I talked to you, you said you played it.
Well,
I played it
drunk for 3 rounds, and I didn't understand what the hell was going on.
It's a hard game to play drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But hey, real quick, I wanted to get into, this is the episode for the free Insurgency giveaway. Speaking of Insurgency, at some point in the podcast, we're going to say a password. All you got to do is email us the password and your Steam name and what you thought of the podcast, and then we'll pick one randomly from all the emails that we get.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So have you guys noticed, or did you guys see the Steam sale? They had a Ubisoft sale.
I saw that on my Steam site, but I didn't see all that was offered. What was there?
Pretty much every Ubisoft title was on there, and they had packs, too. The only thing I picked up was the Tom Clancy pack, because I've never played a Tom Clancy game.
Wow, nice.
Brother in Arms pack. Never played a Brother in Arms game.
Is Splinter Cell part of that pack?
Yeah.
I've never played a Splinter Cell, and that's always intrigued me, you know, because it's got that Metal Gear Solid kind of style.
Yeah, it's a stealthy game.
I might have to look into that.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm going to get to those. I wanted to get the Assassin's Creed games, too, but the deals weren't that good on those ones. And I still haven't beat Black Flag, so... You know,
we're going on, like, 2 months now.
And you were playing on it today, right?
Yeah.
I brought it up a little bit. I was showing a friend the graphics on it. But you know what I did pick up that is an old game, but I really want to check out? It came very highly recommended by a lot of people, was Beyond Good and Evil. You guys ever played this?
Oh, is that the one that has the, like, giant monster? You play as a god, and it's a god. There's a giant, like, kind of monster.
That's Black and White.
Oh, Black and White.
Yeah.
Which one's Beyond Good and Evil?
You know, I don't know much about it. It's, like, it looks like an adventure, maybe like an action-adventure game with this female protagonist, and I don't know much beyond that. So I don't
Welcome to the podcast that has all questions, no answers.
Yeah.
Well, next week you'll tell us all about it, right?
I mean, I'm really hoping I'm going to be able to play it and ignore the fact that it was made a long time ago. I mean, maybe 5-10 years ago, I think it was made.
It's tough, man. Like, I try to go back and play the Human Revolution, not that Human Revolution, but the original.
Deus Ex.
Yeah, Deus Ex, the original. And I was just like, oh my
yeah,
God.
I tried that. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's
right. I got about an hour into it, and I said, no, yeah. I can't.
The original, right?
Yeah, the original. Yeah.
I played that game when it was out, and I made it about a third of the way through.
Even then it was tough.
Oh, yeah, it's a tough, it's a long game. Oh. I started playing it again in 2011, and I'm halfway through it, and I've spent about 16 hours on it.
Jeez.
It's just a really big game. You spend a lot of time running around and, like, finding things out and searching for stuff. It's a lengthy game.
It's tough going back, right? Like, all these movies that I remember, like, were great when I was growing up in the 80s, these 80s movies. Like, oh, that was a great movie. You go back and you watch it, like, this is fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
This is dog shit. So
some of them hold up, but a lot don't.
But, like, some games, like, you know, a lot of games, I think they do hold up. Maybe it comes down to controls, because the controls have evolved, like the graphics.
I think also games build on each other. And so we've played on games that have built on the ones that have, like Deus Ex, for example, which was kind of groundbreaking at its time. All the games have built up on it, and so now we're used to that next level, and when you go back to it, it just feels old, or like it's missing pieces.
Dated.
But at the time, it was like the hottest shit around, you know?
And it's not the graphics, because I play very low graphic games.
Yeah.
Like, look at FTL. I play that so much. They're terrible graphics.
It had its own quirky kind
of
graphics.
Had a charm,
and I think that's all we want. Like, for myself, that's all I want. I don't need photorealism at all. Like, I still play WoW, and the graphics don't bother me at all. But I want its own, like, uniqueness. I want its own art style. I want its own character.
Not be bothered by the graphics, and then there's wowed by the graphics.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool when somebody comes over and you'll be like, check this out. If anybody hasn't, like, the other night, there was an actual girl here.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, when's the last time you saw what a video game looks like? And she's like, it's been years. So I showed her some Skyrim. She's like, that looks real. That looks like real life.
Well, Skyrim's a good example. Like, got some...
Yeah. For sure. Once you have it, blot it out.
But, like, graphics, like, Dust was... I mean, DayZ obviously had better graphics than Dust.
And Dust was
game. Yeah, and we still played Dust. The graphics didn't hinder the game, and I think that was the critical point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's more than just the graphics. I mean, there's the sound as well. There's, like, the... Does it have good voice acting, or does it have text dialogue, you know? Just all sorts of stuff that goes into it. But... One thing that I've noticed between, like, games now and games back then is the length of them. Games seem so much shorter nowadays. Like, all the games I played back in the day were way longer, and I think that's because there were less of them, and you didn't have Steam, and you didn't have Steam sales. Like, you bought a game for $50, and that was your game for a while. You played it.
They're cheaper now. They're way cheaper.
Yeah, they're cheaper, and there's
a
lot more of them.
The other thing is developers and game publishers have learned that you can make replayability an important aspect of your game. It doesn't have to be a 50-hour game. It can be a 5-hour game with 45 hours of multiplayer, or a 5-hour game that you, if you want to get the platinum trophy or the...
Or a roguelike. That's only 2 hours of gameplay if you beat it in the first run, which you won't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're learning alternate methods of extending gameplay rather than just a straight gameplay.
And then DLCs where they're making money off of just, you know.
But I can, like, you and I, we've both said that, you know, there has to be a certain level of how much gameplay is to make our money worthwhile. And sometimes they don't meet that obligation, and that's when we complain.
I run them by the movie standard. 2 hours for, $13?
Yeah.
If I pay, and that's like... You're going to see something in 3D IMAX probably for $13.50.
Oh, no, you're paying more for that.
Is it about $15?
$15.
Maybe more.
It's been a while.
Maybe more. You. Last time you guys been to the movies.
Yeah, it's been a while.
3D IMAX, it's been a while.
We were just talking about how we haven't had a girl over in a while.
It's like almost $20 to see something 3D with, like, Dolby Atmos and all that fancy stuff. Yeah, you pay a lot. Like, movie theaters are pretty nice, though. They got, like, the nice chairs. Like, they're up in the experience. But yeah, you know, like without trying to sound too misogynistic here, like I treat video games like I treat women. You know, if you give me too much
revolving door.
Yeah.
No.
As fast as possible.
Yeah.
If you give me too much shit,
double click that now.
I lose them and I move on to the next, man. It's like I don't have to take this. You know, like Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I was like, all right, you know, let's dust off a classic. Let's play this one for a little bit. And after a while, like I got to some of these end missions. And it's like you fail, you got to respawn on the other side of the map, you got to drive all the way over, you got to start the mission over again, you do one little tiny thing wrong, you take like a turn just a little too sharp, and boom, you fail the whole mission. You got to spend about 2.5 minutes getting back to the point where you restart that mission. It's like, dude, come on, I don't need to take this. I don't need this.
You know, I was like that too. Like every game that gave me a virus, I would get rid of, just like chicks. But now that I have them all, you know, whatever. I'm invincible.
Oh my god! Fucking sausage fest up in here. Well, speaking of sales, the Ubisoft sale.
Is that what we're talking about? Okay.
Wow.
That's what we started talking about.
Ubisoft.
But there was another, there's a new Humble Bundle sale that looked really good. It looked good, but I had all the games that were on it. So I was I was like texting people like, dude, you've got to get this. Yeah.
So what's on it? Because I probably don't have these games.
I told you about this specifically. I was like,
I was probably playing while you told me, yeah, so I probably didn't hear you.
Well, you know, the way Humble Bundles work is if you donate a certain amount, you get more games. You can donate one penny and get the games. If you donate like
$5 usually?
It's usually around $4 or $5. It depends on what other people are donating, but I think right now it's around $4 to get these extra games, and maybe like $7 to get like the full package. But they've got Guacamelee, the Swapper. Help me out on this. What else they got here?
Wasn't there some roguelikes?
No, there was an entire
Dust
one.
And Elysian.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah,
Dust.
Yep.
Yeah, there's like all these games.
Not Dust, the survival game. Dust. It's like an anime game.
Yeah.
Rust is what I was saying. Don't confuse those two.
Yeah, side scroller, right?
Yeah, it's a side scroller. It's really pretty, though.
Yeah, Monaco was on there as well.
Yeah, Monaco was on there, which I still haven't played with you.
Yeah, we got
to. You know what I was going to say earlier about graphics? As long as I know what everything is, I can have a good time with.
Monaco,
what the fuck am I looking at? Like, it's so stylized that.
It tells you get the fire extinguisher, and you're like, what the fuck is the fire extinguisher?
Is it these cubes over here?
It's like
or
these
that
little
cube
red, black, and white blocks.
Yeah. But you know what? I thought about this, and I was like, hey, Chad, and I called him on Skype, and yes, we're in the next room from each other, just so you guys. But I called him on Skype, yay, technology. And I was like, hey, you should take a look at this. But then I rethought it. I was like, oh, he doesn't have a controller set up. And those are mostly controller games.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Speaking of which, as a person that doesn't use controller on a PC, what's the best way to approach? How have you guys gotten a controller to work? Do you get a PC controller or do you get an Xbox controller?
Xbox controllers for PC is the best way.
So you get an Xbox controller, plug it in the USB port, and it should just work?
Yes. Yeah, it works automatically.
Unlike mine.
Unlike yours.
Issues, yeah. But I had some stupid issues.
Yeah. Okay, so these are the games. Guacamelee, Dust, and Elysian Tale, Giana Sisters, Twisted Dreams, The Swapper, Anti-Chamber, and Monaco.
Anti-Chamber's really good, too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, solid game there.
The one about the sisters I've never heard of.
I have it. I have not played it.
Of course you have.
Yeah.
We know you have it.
Hey, guys, do you want to know why you're getting a free copy of Insurgency? It's because we bought one sight unseen for Bobby because it had only been out for 2 hours, but we only to... find out that he already bought it.
Not only did he buy it already, he's already played for an hour.
Yeah.
It's been out for two. He's bought it and played for an hour.
You know, I'm almost at 800 games now on my Steam account. I'm level 90. I'm at almost 800 games. And what I was doing the other day was you can search your games for like a title.
Never had to.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, what I was doing was searching like words. I'm like, I want to see how many games have this word in it. And I was searching like star and space.
He wants a game within Steam so bad. Like a Steam game. He's trying to make up his own.
Oh, yeah. The Steam game, I still think that's a solid idea.
If you think about it, if you had just paid $1 a game, you're already at $800. And we know that you have paid more than $1.
There's a website you can go to that you put in your Steam account, and it tells you what your Steam account is worth. Of course, it's all retail, no sales. And it tells you like how many games you have, and what the dollar value of all those games are, basically.
Are you going to tell us what yours was?
I can't remember what it was, but retail value without sales, yeah, it's like probably over 10 grand.
Wow.
It's a lot of money. But hey, what else am I going to spend my money on?
I don't know, a girlfriend?
questionable. She doesn't listen, does she?
She doesn't. I hope not. We'll find out after this one.
So do we want to talk about League of Legends or do we want to talk about Insurgency? What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's talk about League of Legends.
You want to talk about League? Okay.
Yeah. So we started playing League of Legends. We played Dota 2 prior to this. And, of course, I think we have most of our background in Smite. But League of Legends, obviously, is huge. And just wanted to see what that was all about. So what were your guys' like first impressions of that?
Right away, first impressions coming off of Dota, and I think we all said this, is so much less complicated. And that leaves more room for fun. We're talking about new. These are all first impressions, folks. Because I had played it once briefly earlier on. And, I mean, let's be honest. It looks super dated. It looks like something from 10 years ago.
See, I kind of disagree with you on that. It is dated, but I think it, even back in its day, it was going for a cartoony, almost childlike look. Like, it's looking for a certain look, and it hit it.
But even for that look, I mean, look at Dawngate. Look how pretty Dawngate was, and they're going for the same thing, right? Update your game. They need a 2.0, back.
There's a lot of, like, after you've selected your characters, you have another two-minute window while everybody's loading their game up. That's unacceptable at this point.
There's like, a bunch
I do
of stuff.
Like that, though. I like that window where it shows everyone loading their game up. It reminds me of Frozen Throne, Warcraft 3, like those kind of games where you could see everybody's loading bar, and then you could see who has the fastest computer by who loads the first.
Oh, of course.
Which is me.
Yeah. Little guilty smile you got over here.
I don't think I ever lost that part of the game.
Yeah. So there
Speaking
are
of
definitely.
Which, Chad has probably the weakest rig of all of ours, and Insurgency. Yeah. I'm in, guys. What team are you on? I don't know. Man, I have no idea.
Hey, it's small but powerful. That's what I tell the ladies.
It's hard to tell what the hell's going on with that game to begin with, but we'll talk about that after LoL.
Yeah, we'll get into it later.
I liked LoL, though.
You did? Because you complained the whole time you were playing.
Oh, yeah, you know. I mean, I really didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I did enjoy it a lot more than Dota.
So tell the listeners what characters you were playing so they have an idea of, like, what you went in and immediately started playing Shaco one, right?
Yeah, and that's all I played. I don't think I tried anyone else out, and I probably should have. And
so what drew you to Shaco?
Everybody, you guys had recommended a player to me, but the game I was in, someone had already taken it, and he was the first guy that I chose on the first match that I played, and I just kept picking him after that. I didn't have too many options, so he was always open.
And you tore shit up that first game, or maybe the second game.
Oh, yeah, well, against bots.
Yeah,
but
against bots.
Yeah, he's got a very unique playing style, very similar to Loki and Smite. Very stealthy melee combat.
Does he actually have stealth, though?
He does have a move where he goes invisible and can reappear a distance away and then, like, stab someone for more damage.
Like a backstab.
So. Yeah, yeah. And he does more damage from behind, like Loki, so.
Like me, too.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that was coming.
How about you, Amira?
I played Jaina, because I said I was going to play support for the first time ever in a MOBA, and I had a lot of fun with it.
I think you did pretty well as a support. I was worried that you were going to try to do last hits.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see that.
To be the support role, yeah, the complete support role. She's really good. She can push the lane and be a support, which is kind of nice. And but all in all, you know, going through the menus and everything just looks so dated. I brought it up with my friend my nephew, who's a longtime player. He said, you know, he's a hardcore LoL player. And even he agreed that, you know, they need an upgrade.
Yeah.
They would take more than half of their player, way more than half of the players would jump over, you know, new and improved. Keep all your heroes. Keep everything you want.
Yeah, just not a new League of Legends. You just a League of Legends 2.0.
2.0, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your masteries. Keep how your gods work and all that stuff. But the netcode needs to be updated. The the UI needs, the way that works needs to be updated. The loading into the game, it's the accessibility. That's why this game is so big. It's simple. It doesn't taxing on your computer, and everybody can pick it up. And if you get a bad reputation, start a new account. I'm fuckface at fuckface.com. You got a new account.
Yeah.
Just like that. It's ridiculous.
I wouldn't go to that website. But, you know, starting a new account, I think if you have a lot invested in the account that you already have, starting a new account would not be a good idea. That's a little bit bigger of a deal than I think we think it is. Because there does seem to be a lot stricter punishments for leaving the game, or they have the tribunal, which is, you know, if enough people complain about a certain player, they go to the tribunal and they vote whether or not to, like, ban this player. And I was surprised how strict they are about this. Mm-hmm. I think a MOBA really needs that. Smite does a really good job of, you know, you get deserter status if you leave a game and you can't play for 30 minutes. So there's penalties.
But as far as complaints, I don't think they do anything on complaints. I've never seen
anything. Well, no, League of Legends is one of the games that they've actually banned tournament players. For abuse.
Toxicity?
For abuse and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, League of Legends is kind of known, at least from my understanding, as a game that will actually respond.
And I can respect that. I mean, that's really respectable. Yeah. Being a player that doesn't flame or get crazy, you know, I want stricter punishment on those that are disrupting the game, being toxic.
Yeah, especially if you're going to market this thing as some sort of e-sport, then, like, you got to have those penalties. You know, like in professional sports, you know, players get fined when they get out of line. And if you want to have e-sports be legitimate, you got to do the same.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. It makes a better experience for everybody. When you're playing, you get less levers, you get less dickheads. I mean, it's just a win-win.
Yeah,
it is.
So, you both have now played Dota 2. You both played League of Legends. As a relatively new top-down MOBA players, give me your thoughts now that you've played the both of them for a little bit of time. What are your thoughts? Which do you like better? What do you think should be used in other games, and what do you think should get rid of?
Well, one thing that I like about League of Legends more than Dota 2 is you can buy items when you're dead. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, and I like that.
But conversely, you can't buy items outside the well in League of Legends. So in Dota, you can buy items at any time while you're alive.
But you don't get them.
But you don't get them. Or you have to send the courier out to you.
Yeah. Honestly, the whole graphics and all that stuff didn't bother me at all. I didn't really care about that. The whole top-down thing is the biggest problem I have with these games, with both of them, really. It's just, I think it's because I come from more of a first-person shooter background, so a third-person over the shoulder is much more comfortable to me than a third-person top-down. I played RTS games in the past, but just not as many as first-person shooters. And I think it's a more natural feel for people, because if you're playing third person over the shoulder like Smite and you're running through your lane and someone comes up behind you, you can't see them. You have to turn around to see them, just like you would in real life. In a top down, you see them if they're just close to you. You can see them behind you or wherever they may be. So it's not realistic, and I understand they're not going for realism, but I just like I get much more into Smite when I'm playing a game of Smite.
Yeah, but that wasn't my question. My question is, League of Legends or Dota 2?
Oh, definitely League of Legends.
League of Legends? Yeah.
My answer, out of those two?
Yeah.
Smite. Yeah. For sure.
You guys are both Smite heads, and we acknowledge that.
I mean, I understand this is not a visual medium here. We're on a podcast, but imagine what I'm doing with my hands here. Like, you know, here's Dota 2 way down here. Here's League of Legends just a little bit above it. And there's Smite way the fuck up there, you know? Sure. Like, so.
So really quick, LOL has, I really like the art style. Whoever paints their, you know, does their art, really cool. A lot of them were really cool.
Oh, the character art?
Yeah, the character art was really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe even better than Smite.
I
was looking at some of the Smite's ones today, and I was like, you know. But here's the thing. When you're playing LOL, that portrait is your character, more than your character on screen is. Like, you get to see his little face, like in Dota 2. That portrait's really... So they have to focus on this. When you're playing Smite, you're seeing your whole character. You see the whole model, you know? And and they're getting better and better. But anyway, so what else did I like about... Oh, you know, anything that you want to do in LoL, maybe you forget how to do something, just look down. The button binding for whatever you want to do is right there. Oh, I want to go back, I push this button. Oh, I want to drink a potion, it's this button. Like, it's so simple. A dumbed down version of, you know, MOBAs are inherently complex, but this makes it a little smoother pill to swallow, I guess. So yeah, LoL all the way over Dota. And the other thing is, I could see maybe if I was waiting into LoL, I'd spend some money on one of these costumes because they're cool and really highly stylized. How does Dota... I don't understand how Dota makes money, you know? We talked about this last week, how it's so top-down, you can't see these little... Oh, so I got new bracelets for $4 on a character you're looking from top-down.
Yeah.
You know?
They're pretty expensive, too, in Dota. Like, have you seen what those go for in the community market on Steam?
No.
Like, even the stuff that I got just from playing that short period of time when we were playing Dota, like, I could probably make a couple bucks off of.
Wow.
Wow. So, I guess the question I have now is, would either of you guys play either one of those games again?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't want to say Dota 2 is a bad game. I didn't enjoy it as much, but it definitely has a lot more complexity to it.
It's hardcore. Yeah. Like, and I think you got to be a hardcore MOBA player to really get involved in Dota 2. And those people that are hardcore don't want easy. You know, like, they want to be the hardcore. Just like how Emilio and I liked EverQuest for its hardcoreness, and we mocked WoW for a lot of its easiness.
Right. Yeah.
I think those people that started off playing Dota like Dota 2 because it is that hardcore, no holds barred, this is how you are and this is the truth. Whereas League of Legends has a lot of, like, you can hide behind things and it's very forgiving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people that aren't hardcore aren't way into that, like the ease of use and the forgivability of League of Legends.
And to get back into gameplay real quick, there's a lot of... It's a war of attrition. Who can hang out longer and get more farm in the top downs? And we talked about this last week, I know, but we played a little Smite this week and we had a great time.
Yeah, that was fun.
And man, the action was on right away. It's tense right away. It's not farming. It's farming while trying not to get killed. And I feel like in these top-down ones, as soon as people get their ultimates, somebody dies.
Yeah,
it's just like it's a race to see who could get to their ultimates. But in Smite, you have all these other... Okay, here's the other thing, too. In all these top-down ones, it seems like he does this, and he does this. So what you do is you do this so that you can do B, and then sometimes you can kill him with C. You know what I mean? In Smite, it's like, I have this, I might use it then. I have this, I might use that then. You know what I mean? It's not like a this, this, and this, and that's the way you kill people.
They're not combos in Smite.
Yeah, they're not combos.
You're individuals. It's,
no, not... I didn't mean like two people. I mean one player. Like,
you're talking about the abilities that the abilities. Character uses.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll be like, okay, in a top-down, you'll be like, okay, this guy stuns, and then he has a dot, and then he has a knockback. So you always do the stun, dot, then the knockback. That's just how you play this guy. And there you go. You get that down, you master this guy. I feel like you have to be far more dynamic in Smite, where you might just need this thing just to stay alive for a little while. You, like, knock somebody back or something like that. It's a lot more like that. I don't know. That's what I ran into. You have to be a lot more dynamic player in Smite.
No, I think the more accurate with the WASD controls has, you know, there's a lot more complexity involved. Also, everything in Smite is a skill shot.
Yeah.
So it's not like, okay, I'm going to click on this guy until I get the point to work, and then I'm going to do the rest of my combo. So
and real quick, by the way, I was snickering earlier because Bobby was like, so is there any way that I can control the camera with the WASD keys? And,
chat says, no, with the arrow keys.
No, with the WASD, yeah, I wanted to control the camera with that. And, I don't think that's an unreasonable thing.
Chad goes, I don't think there's a pro player alive that does that.
I'm so still sure that.
Because the camera is a bitch, man.
It is. Well, you have to move your mouse to move the camera, and then move your mouse to click where you want to go. And I ended up, like, moving the camera kind of where I wanted to, but then having to click somewhere away from my, HUD on the map. I think it would have been much easier if I could have just moved the camera with my left hand.
My biggest problem in LOL was that every time I leveled up in Smite, you push the F key to level up again. Yeah. And I would just jump across the map because the F keys are bound to your teammates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my camera's way across the map and while I'm dying down here.
Well, you can hit spacebar to go back to your character.
Yeah, thanks.
But I think we're heavily biased because we played a lot of Smite, and obviously we're familiar with that
and
game.
And it's a better game.
Speaking of the camera, by the way, I agree with you. That is a learned skill. And, you know,
we just haven't acquired it yet.
Well, I came into MOBAs having to learn that skill, and that was a frustration to me when I first got in. But I also wanted to point out that the frustration in Smite is you have to control your camera with your mouse. Like, it's not... You know, there's another learned skill there, because since everything's a skill shot, your distance is determined by how high you're looking up on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
So there's another learned skill that you guys have learned playing Smite.
Yeah.
That people that come into Smite from other
MOBAs...
But
it goes more natural with first-person shooters, which is what most
but
of us
but play. That's what I'm saying. Like, there are MOBA players that have grew up on RTSs. That right. the third person camera controls and everything is going to be a little bit distant.
Kind of like the StarCraft crowd jumped over to MOBAs.
Yeah.
To top-down MOBAs, and like maybe shooter crowd will get into Smite.
Well, I think with all of these, there's just a lot to learn. I mean, that was the case with Smite too, but we got in pretty early when there weren't too many gods. But with Dota and with League of Legends, you have several champions or heroes or gods or whatever you want to call them. They all have four abilities. If you happen to find yourself in a situation with one of them, you want to know what abilities they have, what they can use against you, and how you can counter them with the abilities that you have. I mean, that's a lot of variables. That's a lot of factoring going on, a lot of things you need to memorize.
Yeah.
So with either of these games, you have got to spend a lot of time playing them just to be adequate at them.
Yeah.
And to bring back the woman analogy, you know, I'm not ready to settle down with the game here. I like to keep it casual. So, you know, I see this immediately and I recognize it because I played a lot of Smite. And I'm just like, you know what? No,
exactly.
Thanks. I see where this is going.
There's just too many heroes at this point.
And one of the things that I find interesting is I, at first, appreciated Dota 2 not trying to sell me characters because everything is available.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, now you got to learn all those characters because
immediately
because you could be playing against any of those guys.
Yeah.
So at first I was thinking, wow, this is a really cool idea that I don't have to buy these characters. I can play any character I want. But now that I look back at it, I think League of Legends and, you know, these other ones that do the purchase, the free rotation plus the purchase. I think those are doing it right because, you know, we got to level 5 and we jumped into games against players. We knew who we were going to play against for the most part because it was just the free-to-play rotation. So it was only like 6 or 7. So, I mean, looking back on it, I was mad that we had to play 5 levels against the bots. So I didn't like that about League of Legends, but I did like the fact that there was only 6 or 7 characters that I had to like go up against versus Dota's, you know, 40, 60, 100. I don't know how many they have.
Yeah,
but
it was a lot
ton.
All at once.
It was a book.
Yeah. Now, what was up with League of Legends? They have masteries and they have runes. Now, I know the masteries, it's kind of like building a skill tree in World of Warcraft, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you build a skill tree, but then you can have as many skill trees as you want. So when you go and make your character, you can then select the skill tree that you want at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So you could make skill trees for each character. You could make skill trees for each type of character.
But how many points are you given? That depends on your level, right?
Yeah, it caps out at 30, I believe. I think that's how all the higher level you can get in League of Legends, I believe, is 30.
So there's a bit of a play to win because you're playing other people who may have...
True, but we're talking about... There's maybe an ability that says you take 1 less damage against heroes. Not 1%. Mm-hmm. Not 1.
And also, there's so many players
one.
That the matchmaking, you're hitting other people at your level. The matchmaking is really good in that game.
But like, you can play a level 30 guy as a level 1 guy, and we're talking about differences of maybe 5 or 6% all the way down the tree. Yeah. These are very minor things. But it gives you a sense of accomplishment at each level. You get to put your point in, and it's like your cooldown's 0.25%. Dawn Gates is crazy. Yeah.
Chad just showed me Dawn Gates' masteries thing. It's like a big puzzle piece.
Yeah, it's crazy. They just implemented this thing like 2 weeks ago.
When they when you take like an IQ test and they give you all those triangles and they say make this shape, that's kind of like what it is.
Yeah.
Like it's a bunch of triangles and you got to fill up this shape, and then you got to fill up
the shapes with circles inside the shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like Dawn Gates went a whole different way, but they're really smart about it. They did it so you can get these things just constantly every game. You can get new ones of these and you still be excited and still be interested about getting these things, cuz there's so many different variables that you can look at to get
like loadout.
Yeah.
Where you can just like every game.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way that I think developers are headed. Like you want to keep teasing people with giving little stuff, but people don't realize at the end they need thousands of these things to be successful. You know,
keep hijacking the reward system as soon as possible.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed to me when I was doing some research on is it Shaco or Shaco?
I think it's Shaco.
Shaco? Whatever.
I don't know.
He sounded like the Joker
from
the
Batman jester,
games.
Right?
Yeah. The Jester, yeah. Well, I was doing some research on him, and a lot of people had, like, if you want to farm, then you want to get these masteries. You want to have your tree looking like this. If you want to jungle, then you want it like this. So it seems like there's the same kind of builds that everyone gets, depending on the role that they plan on playing.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's another element to the game. But what's up with the runes? What do those do?
So the runes are another, like, add power or mana or whatever, cooldowns. But they are kind of locked in. That's for your guy. I haven't really looked into it a whole lot.
Locked to your account?
Yeah, I think it's locked to your account. I haven't looked into it a whole lot because you have to, like, purchase the different runes. And you
with money,
with IP or RP, and so the higher level you go, the bigger the runes you can unlock. And I was told not to unlock runes until you hit level 30 and can unlock the best runes. So since my highest level account's like 14 or 15, I haven't even played around with them. That's so true. I don't know. I'll let you know when I hit 30, if I ever do.
Yeah. So we're all on the Dawn Gate beta, right?
We are, but I installed it today, but I haven't played it.
So
Chad's put in shit.
Yeah,
20 hours?
I've been putting in, yeah, I probably put in about 10, 15 hours this week.
It's a very pretty game from what I've seen. The I think Torchlight 2, a little bit crisper and more colorful, I would say.
I always play Cerulean.
But this is a MOBA, right? Top-down MOBA?
Top-down MOBA.
It's a two-lane system instead of a three-lane.
5 versus 5?
5 versus 5. What is cool...
You guys had the exact... What you just said to each other right now, last week. Exactly.
Well, I apologize.
Two lane?
Maybe somebody...
5v5?
Maybe 5v5. Somebody wasn't listening. I find it ironic that you're pointing that out, too.
The person you don't know what happened yesterday.
I only have 3 stories.
the thing that I find cool about it, but frustrating at the same time, is the tower... All the towers can respawn. The towers will eventually all grow back.
Well, there's only 2 lanes, though.
True. So it's a 3-tower system, just like most MOBAs, where it's the outer tower, middle tower, and then the base tower.
Yeah.
So they regenerate that same way. So you get pushed back all the way back to your base. And if they have a DC or something and the tides turn, you'll eventually push them back.
That sounds like it could make for a very long game.
Yes, it can. It definitely can.
And it kind of seems like your best player, you don't want mid, because there is no mid. So he's probably going to be your jungler, right?
Jungle is crucial in this game.
It's jungle versus jungle, and then 2-2v lanes, right?
Yeah,
2v2
exactly.
2v2 lanes, yeah.
But the jungle is since... So the jungle exists outside of the lanes and in between the lanes, so the jungler is crossing lanes a lot.
Yeah.
And
hopefully getting ganks on the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got a buff system similar to Smite or League of Legends also. So the jungler can go in. Junglers can be the strongest in the game. And if he ganks efficiently, then he basically sways the game.
Have you seen a three team build?
And always loses. Yeah. It always loses. The XP gains prevent the three person lane from succeeding.
Right.
Basically.
Gotcha.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
The other thing that is kind of interesting is, so when you kill a tower, so the lane creeps is basically some melee creeps, some range creeps, and one like big creep. Okay.
Like a tanky.
Yeah, a tanky creep. Yeah. When you kill a tower, your tanky creep gets stronger. So now the lane, if you kill a tower, your lane is uneven in your favor. So the big guy will kill their big guy without dying, so to speak. So your lane
will be able to push the lane on his own.
Your lane will naturally start pushing, but the lane will regenerate after a little while.
Now, when you break the second tower, does he get even bigger?
Yeah, and then when you break the third, he becomes really juiced. He becomes strong enough to actually do some damage. Yeah.
So you can get a kind of a quick game. Is there 20-minute games?
It's a 20-minute minimum on the surrender.
Whoo!
That's deep. Yeah, and right now, since it's closed beta, there's a lot of AFKers and leavers.
Yeah.
So it can be a challenge.
Yeah.
And is there any kind of penalty for that? Or
they did implement a reporting system recently. When they went,
Chad loves that.
Yes, and I love reporting people. So don't play against me. The other thing that is cool, I'm not sure if I brought this up before, is the base guy, the Minotaur for you Smite players.
Mm-hmm.
Is almost like a boss encounter. He does different effects. He targets different people. He heals. He's got like three life bars that you've got to break down. Yeah. So it's a whole like system. Once you get into the base, you got to face this like boss guy that actually can do some good damage and do some good work.
They should put that in Smite for sure.
Yeah. The other thing is cool is similar to the Fire Giant. Their center guy, which gives you a buff, is similar where he has like a frost breath that you need to get out of the way of because it'll, like, destroy you. He does this, like, he does red circles on the ground if you play WoW, you know, like, avoid the red circles. Like, he does that same sort of mechanic, which I think is...
It's more engaging than just trying to do damage.
Exactly.
It sounds like there's more of a PvE element than most other MOBAs.
Yeah, there is definitely some of that. Now, granted, the jungle creeps are kind of just plain blah, whatever. They, you know, it's a group of them and you kill them down or whatever, but... Their main guys and the base creeps, those present some fun little challenges, which is cool. I like.
I may get into Dawngate this week. I don't know. I got a lot on the table as far as gaming goes.
Yeah, we got more Insurgency to play.
Yeah for but sure. I am kind of interested in Dawngate a little bit. But let's stick with the talk about the betas. I'll bring up Titanfall real quick because I got into that beta. I know last week I said I got the Xbox code and then literally I went home that night and I got the PC code. So I was able to play some of that. It ran terribly on my computer, which is really weird. That never happens.
Wow.
And this
you need a stronger computer than the one you got? I'm screwed.
I think it was the SLI because I got a GTX 690, which is like two GPUs on one card running an SLI. Damn.
Yeah.
It's getting nerdy.
Tell me more. Go on.
Oh, God. Calm down, ladies.
Is that a nerdgasm?
But, yeah, it ran like shit, but dude, this game feels like Call of Duty so much, man. It feels like... It's not a bad thing, but it really does feel like Call of Duty. The NPCs go down easily. Like, you just shoot them once and they're dead. The difficult part is telling the NPCs from the real players and, like, judging how tactical you need to be to take them down. But this is a run-and-gun game. Like, there's no, ducking behind stuff. The movement is really cool, how you can jump off the walls and bounce. Like, you just hop right up a building, pretty much. I do like that part. They got some
How about
cool...
the mechs? Talk about the mechs.
Oh, the Titans?
That's what I want to hear about.
What are the
about?
Three classes? There's three classes.
There's Assault. There's... I can't remember what the other one is, but it has, like, missile launchers.
Some sort of heavy, sort of...
Yeah, like a heavy one. And, yeah, after a while, like, if you get a bunch of kills, then you can call down your Titan, you can hop into it, you can have it follow you around, which never seemed too effective for me. But you can hop into it, and you can fight other people. You take down people without mechs very quickly if you can find them. Fighting other mechs is a little bit more challenging. They've got, I like the ability where you can like do this shield that kind of grabs all the bullets, collects them, and then you throw it back at them. That's pretty cool.
They can catch it though, right?
Mm-hmm. They can catch it, so you can play like ping pong with it. You cannot jump. You do have a dash as a Titan. It was a lot of fun. Like I really liked it, but I don't see myself playing this for a long time. Like I think I see myself having about as much fun with this as any Call of Duty game. You know, just like I get into the multiplayer, it's fun, run and gun, blow people up, shoot everyone.
Not a lot of depth.
Yeah, not a lot of depth. But it looks good. It's fun. I don't know what the technical issue was on my side, but I don't know if everybody was having it. I know there are a lot of issues people were having here and there, but mine was consistent, like every single time.
Yeah. I probably distracted from your fun as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would have enjoyed it a lot more with that. But one thing they do at the end of these rounds is when people, when one team wins, the losing team can run back onto this ship that takes them away, I guess, like an escape ship. So everyone all races towards one point, and then if you die, then there's no respawn after that.
Is it kind of like TF2 when, like, after the match where everybody's just running?
Yeah, exactly, except you can get away.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
You don't just run and hide. Right. So, yeah, that's, it was an interesting experience. Honestly, I was a little underwhelmed. Like, it felt very Call of Duty to me, but...
Well, if it took all the best parts of Call of Duty, that could be a good thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. So, I don't know, more on that when that game comes out. It's not going to be too much longer. But there's other betas, too, out there, right? With Wildstar. I was trying to get that going, but I haven't had a chance.
Have you downloaded it, even?
Oh, yeah, it's downloaded. I'm just trying to figure out my my login for it.
So, they have a lot of interesting ideas. You know, this is a game. This is a company. It's NCSoft, right? They've done... This is maybe their fifth MMO? I mean, they've done a bunch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. City of Heroes, right?
Yeah, City of Heroes, I think, was their first one, which I loved.
Yeah,
I played that hardcore, and then I sold my account like that.
Like I said, you play a game until you're sick of it, and then you...
I mean, once I got to the... I was going to the hardest level by myself in soloing, and then, I mean, what am I going to do after that? There was no end game in that game.
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
So that's why I sold my account.
No other game... had like 40 mobs on you, just blowing people. Awesome. That was really cool. There was some fun parts in that.
Yeah, and so this company, they've done a lot of MMOs, so they're just learning as they go, and they're each game that comes out, they seem to have been, you know, implementing what they've learned so far, and you're getting a lot of cool ideas. Like last week, we talked about how like if you accomplish a lot of stuff, your guild gets a lot of buffs, or your guild gets buffs to spend how they want to. And I just saw a new video that came out this week where once you complete a zone, you can, you know, done all the quests in a zone, which is like, we're all used to that. You get to a new zone, you clear the zone, mm-hmm. and hopefully it's fun and engaging and there are some new cool things to do. Well, you can replay the zone and it's completely random what comes up. So it's a whole new story, and because it's a simulation, you go into a computer and play a simulation of that zone within the game, right? So your character goes into a simulation machine and they simulate that zone, and then it could be anything from an escort quest where you need a whole like guild to escort this caravan through the zone, which none of that existed, or you could lead in a rebel uprising, or you could it doesn't go with, they don't care about continuity. It doesn't matter what the story is in the game because it's a simulation. So they could get away with anything where you can, you know, it's completely random generated. So they say no matter how many times you play this thing, this one zone, you're not going to get the same quests again. Yeah. So which I thought was a great idea. I mean, take the assets you have and do them and use them again, you know, because you spent so much time on doing them, especially the 1-5 zones or whatever, where you're only there for, you know, 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And MMOs always suffer from being very repetitive, so any way to counter that is definitely a plus.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But this game looks like it has a little more of a futuristic kind of spin on it, not necessarily like the other MMOs that have like fantasy or like that olden kind of look. which I like. I definitely prefer sci-fi over fantasy.
We called it last week. We called it sci-fi WoW.
Yeah, yeah, sci-fi yeah. WoW.
I really want to know more about this. I really want you to get this up and playing.
You'll really like the art from what you yeah. say. Like, it's really stylized, cartoony art.
Yeah, yeah. I'm intrigued by this one too. I really do. I actually tried to log in today. Once I figure out my issues with logging into NCSoft, then yeah, I'm definitely going to check that one out. And you know, this isn't in beta yet, but there's been a little more information and gameplay footage released on Evolve. And dude, I am really, really looking forward to this game now.
You know, it's funny. Earlier this year, we did our little list of what we were looking forward to most in 2014. This wasn't even on the radar because it hadn't even been out. And out of nowhere, boom, here it comes.
Yeah.
And man, nothing but good press. Like, they flew out a bunch of dudes to go play it. And everybody said, and the PC Gamer guy said that this is the best looking game also. On yeah. top of all the, everything else, this is the best looking game that they've seen in years.
Yeah. So, well, I watched the gameplay footage. I'm like, that looks pretty good. And I looked up the engine that they're using, and they're using CryEngine 4, I think. I don't know. I saw one source that said CryEngine 3, which is Crysis 3, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, Crysis 2, you know, all those games running on CryEngine 3. But then I saw another source that said this is using the new CryEngine, number 4. So, yeah, the graphics are going to be amazing on this.
And this is, like, our first taste of the consoles upping their game, and so now PCs can relish in, you know, in the lesser constraints. Like, we, you yeah. know, all these games that are going to be cross-platform, you know, they've always been the consoleitis, the thing that I hate most of all games. You're like, oh, okay, obviously all these UIs are set up for controllers and stuff like that, which bugs me. But it's the graphics that bugs me the most, where this game doesn't look as good as it should because we had to be on PS3 and PS and Xbox 360. Now you have the next-gen consoles. Everybody's upping their game. We're going to try to get as pretty as possible, and now we get to get the rewards out of that.
You know, another game that's using that engine is Star Citizen, which looks amazing as well.
Yeah.
But they've been releasing, like, with people playing the game, they've been releasing a little more information. Very little was known about this. I know there's different classes in this. There's like a sniper, like a sharpshooter. There's a medic, an assault.
No sniper.
No sniper?
No.
Okay.
So you have your support, which this guy kind of like, he's the one, a little bit of jack of all trades, I think. He can
heal?
He can't heal because there's a medic.
Oh, there you go.
Support throws down ammo and keeps everybody at the ready, I guess. His is the most like, I'm not sure what he does. The other ones are very easy. Trapper controls the movement of the monster. So he can throw down this huge like force field, and the monster has to stay within
that area.
It's like
crowd control.
Crowd control is what he does. Or he throws harpoons in its back and slows it down so it can't move that fast. Stuff like that, right?
Then sounds like that's the guy I'm killing first as the monster.
Well, then you have the medic, right? That will be healing him as he's getting attacked, right? So then the monster might switch over to the medic, but then the support might throw a shield on him or something like that, you know?
Gotcha.
Where it's a big jungling act. So then you have the assault, who does the most damage, easy, and then you have the medic. So from what I hear over and over is what it feels like when the tank attacks in Left 4 Dead 2, but way more complex because so much things are going on. Now you don't have four players that are doing the exact same thing. They all have their specific roles, and the tank has his certain, you know, his he has his special abilities as well. So it adds a lot of complexity to the whole thing.
I wonder if there's a way to customize those characters too. So like your medic, you can spec into a certain ability, or you can customize him in some way so he's really good at doing one specific thing and maybe not so much another. You know, like maybe you can customize your assault character to do more damage long range as opposed to close range.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
That would be cool if there
that
was
that. That would be definitely sure.
I'm curious to know, like, so the creature has to kill these NPCs to get bigger to eventually face the players. Does that mean the players can then kill the NPCs to prevent him from eating it?
Yeah.
So, well, not just that, but the NPCs are dangerous to the hunters, not to the monster. So they're fighting. and shit. You know, yeah. They have the, like, three tiers of monsters. And so some are just fodder, where they just kill them. And then there's, like, some that run in packs, which are dangerous. And then
like
there's,
wolves or the equivalent?
Or something, yeah. Yeah, something like that. And then there's something big, like rhinos, you know, running around. And so as a hunter, as the monster, you want to see when your openings are. You know, if they're busy with something, this is when you want to come in and take somebody out. And they have a respawn, so the hunters can respawn.
Oh, the hunters can respawn.
Yeah, but it's like, I think it takes a while. So that's definitely, you want to press the advantage when it's 3v.
Kind of like the respawns in Insurgency, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that was a question we had last time when we were talking about Evolve. Yeah. Like, can these players respawn? And yeah, it looks like they can.
So the players can, but the monster can't.
Well, it looks like they're, right. No, the monster can't. But I think I heard that there's an objective that the monster can complete. And then he wins if he completes that objective.
Yeah, there's certain things like, I think, they're only one level right now. There's a big power plant, I guess. Mm-hmm. And if he destroys the power plant, I don't know if he wins, but it makes it a hell of a lot easier for him.
Yeah.
Because I think NPCs, like, I don't know exactly. I wish I knew more. It's all very vague because we're getting our information from like 10 guys from 10 different media sources that went and played it.
It's all very second.
But what I thought was really cool was, okay, so this is how the game... This is how the flow goes. So the monster spawns. He's got 20 seconds to run off. The hunters drop down wherever the hunter did, like right after him. So he has a 20-second head start, and he starts his whole thing, right? And there's different ways of tracking him. Like, you could see his footprints, right? So, like, I heard that one of the good strategies is to, like, run in a bunch of circles at first. You know, and then run off, and then they'll know which way to go, you know, which way you went. There's stuff like that. Or like, and then there's flocks of birds in the trees. And when the monster passed by, they all flutter away. And that shows up on the radar of the hunter, so they know the general direction to go.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you do have to hunt. Yeah, it's looking really good.
I hope they sell a 5-pack or a 4-pack.
Yeah. Well, let me know before you guys go ahead and purchase.
Well, you already have the Founders Pack by the time.
Yeah.
But it is looking really good. You've got to check out the gameplay footage on YouTube if you haven't already, because this is the game that I'm looking forward to probably the most now.
I
can't say enough about it. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Insurgency, because we're going to play a lot of that. We got to get off the MOBA kick.
We talked a lot about the MOBA kick.
So. And I love first-person shooters, competitive matches like this. So I'm excited. We're going to play some Insurgency. And I guess we'll let you know right now, the code word. I think I'm going to make the code word real quick. Two code words. Real quick.
You said that quite a bit today.
Yes.
I was like, man, I've said that a lot today. And then he threw one out.
Yeah. So tell them again what they have to do.
Real quick.
Okay. Real quick, you have to do is email us at dudes@dlgaming.net, dudes@dlgaming.net, and email us the code word, which is real quick. Email us a little bit of what you think of the podcast, any suggestions that you have. Try to make it constructive. And email us your Steam ID, and we will send you a free copy of Insurgency.
One person will get it.
One person, yeah. We will select at random the person.
Or and if you don't get it, we might give one away next week, too.
Yeah. What are we doing, like the first or the random?
I think random. Random's probably the best.
All right, we'll flip some coins, roll some dice. Somebody will get it.
I got a 20-sided dice, though.
Nice.
So let me jump into Insurgency, because I, generally, of the three of us, I'm the least interested in shooters, because I'm admittedly the worst in them. And Emilio had told me that he had played a couple times and how hard it was. And, you know, it was scaring me to death, honestly. But I said, let's do this. You know, it's $15 right now. We bought the 4-pack, you know. And so we said, let's jump in here. Let's do this. And I was scared coming in. And honestly, I had the most fun playing a first-person shooter in a long, long time, honestly.
Even more than Loadout?
Even more than Loadout.
This game is like the exact opposite of Loadout.
Yeah.
It is very strategic. It's very realistic.
Very serious.
I like Loadout. Don't get me wrong.
I love Loadout.
But the sense of accomplishment when you kill somebody, like, you don't know if you killed somebody or not, but then you realize that he's dead on the floor, and you're like, wow, that was cool. Like,
really quick. Let's just throw it out there, what it is. So if you go from TF2 and then play Counter-Strike, you say, like, wow, this game is super unforgiving. One or two bullets, you're dead in Counter-Strike. Maybe three, four. This takes that to the next level. No crosshairs. You don't know how many bullets are in your clip. You don't see a life bar.
No map at all.
No map. It's like real life, basically.
Yeah.
You get to see a map before the map round starts.
Yeah.
But that's about all you get, as you would in real life. You
know? No, there's no notification if you take damage. No notification. I mean, you'll you take damage because your guy gets blurry and stuff.
He starts talking shit. Yeah. Oh, fuck, ah, shit.
Yeah.
Which is great.
But you don't know where the shot came from unless you heard where the shot came from. Conversely, you don't know if you killed the guy or hit the guy because there's no notification.
As you wouldn't in real life, which is so good. Like, you know, I shot this guy through a window. And then, as you do, I had to go make sure that I killed him, you know? So I went around the corner. He had only gone prone and shot up at me and killed me. You know, it's awesome.
I didn't know I wanted this until I had this.
Exactly. I didn't think I was going to like this.
Yeah, game. I played Counter. You know, you play Counter Strike and you have a lot of fun, or you play Loading Out and you have a lot of fun, and then you realize all those little things that as a game that they give you to help you out to make sure you know what you're doing, the life bar and the showing people dying and the, you know, all the map and all the, like. You don't realize all those little things that you just use as a game to help you get through it. And without those, like, there's a sense of, like, danger, a sense of, like, like, you get nervous. Like,
how many times have you say, I'm scared to go over there?
Yeah.
Or you hear another player say, I'd go over there, but it's too dark and scary. Like, it does, in Loadout, you're just like, double jump. Like, I don't care. Like, rockets, rockets.
It's definitely a different kind of game. And you fill a role. Like, when your team starts the match, you choose if you're going to be an engineer, a bomber, an assault, you know, something like that.
But there's only a certain amount. Like, you can't have...
You can't have 10 snipers. You
can't have 10
snipers. There's only one sniper in each group,
and
each side gets two groups.
Yeah. It's a good way to do it. You know, somebody might be feel left out, but... It makes a more rounded
match. Definitely. Yeah.
And then once you choose your class, you have that decides what loadout you get, what kind of weapon and what kind of gun that you can use. And you can't unlock guns in this, can you?
No.
No.
Which I like. You know, that sounds really weird, but you can't unlock guns, and it doesn't tell you, like, oh, this does, like...
Yeah, it doesn't give you
a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah. Like, this does, like, a full bar's worth of damage, and it has this little accuracy. You know, you always have those scales and those bar graphs, like, showing how much damage, accuracy, and usually there's a trade-off between those when you select different guns. But this, it's like, well, you got to try the gun out
and see how you like
it, you know?
But you can modify your stuff. You can modify your loadout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think playing on that is you don't need those bars because everything is different. Like, it's an M4, or it's a carbine, which is a single action, or it's a sniper rifle. It's not like you're choosing from six different assault rifles.
Right, you know,
That's the problem that I had with Battlefield 4. They got, like, 50 guns, and each of them are, like, 1% different than each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... I mean, you have your assault rifles, your shotguns, your sniper rifles. It's like there's... basic classes, basic categories of these weapons, but then once you get in that category, they're basically all the same.
All these guns are wildly different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't need to know the stats on them for the most part. You can kind of say, like, okay, I want a fully automatic one. I'm going to take the M4 or the AK versus, you know, I want the carbine
because
I want
like the range. At the end?
I was usually using an AK or an M4 for the most part.
Standard. So was I.
I was putting a 4x scope on, which limits it to a burst instead of a fully auto.
Okay.
But you can scope in because, like, one or two shots will kill you, right? So you don't want to get close to these people. So I was using a 4x scope so I could get a little range on these people and try to hit them from a little bit of range. The sound I like in this game, I like it a lot. Like, there's some little touches. So when the round starts, your, like, squad leader says something. Like, if you're on the terrorist side or the insurgent side, he'll say something like, this is our land, they don't have any right to be here, yeah, or something like that. I thought those touches were good.
Yeah.
And when you reload, your guy says, hey, I'm reloading my gun. You know, like,
which I don't know if you would do in real life. Sometimes I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, there's a guy on the other side of this wall. I don't want him to know that you're reloading.
Which is cool, because the other thing about this game is you can hear the other side if you're close enough. It's like real life. Like,
yeah,
you can hear them. It's some servers even have the mic talk option. You can hear them talking into the mic if you're close enough to them. So I thought that was a really cool idea, and I thought it worked really well.
Now, the counterstroke to this Call of Duty, where it's just like crazy, go nuts, you know, you're running all the time trying to get kills. You get a knife kill in there, it's kind of cool. I got a knife kill today in Insurgency. I got actually three, but I got one when a guy was coming up the stairs real slow. This game is all about pacing. It's super slow, nothing's happening. Boom, all kinds of shit's going on, and then nothing's happening. So it's all about pacing and payoff, right? And that payoff might be a death. That's why you're so scared. You're out of the round if you die. There's no respawn.
Well, there are.
In general, you don't respawn too much in this game. So I hear this guy just creeping up the stairs, going up, and I was like, if I turn and fire, I might miss. I'm just going to go for the knife. I jumped at him, and I slashed his face, and I killed him, and I was like, oh my God, so much better payoff than if I would have done in Call of Duty, where it's kind of commonplace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The other thing that I really like, the modes. There's no deathmatch mode.
Yeah.
There's basically, we played only three different modes. There was a three capture point mode where, you know, you would try to control all three and that's how you win, or you eliminate the team. But if you gain a new capture point, your whole team spawns again. So, like, you're, like, trying to get these control points. That's priority one.
It makes it for a good tug of war.
That was my favorite mode. We went back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
The other mode is a bomb mode where there was three bomb points and one team had to bomb them, but only two of them were actually important ones. One of them was just a decoy.
Yeah. And since it's not a very big game, a lot of people don't know that you have to carry explosives.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of times we would win the round basically, but since our guys didn't have any explosives on, they couldn't blow it up.
Yeah. Hmm. And then the third mode was a VIP mode where one side had a VIP who's colored a little differently. He had sunglasses on or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you killed him, the round was over. And conversely, if you could get him to an extraction point, they won.
Yeah.
And all those modes were cool. But I thought the respawn aspect of those modes were cool. If you bombed one of the control points in the bomb maps, you would get your team to respawn. But the other team would respawn halfway through the map also. So when you die, like, you were out of the fight. And a lot of times you were out of the fight permanently. But there was also a chance that you could come back in, which meant I was invested in the fight. I was watching the fight, hoping that the guy would do what was wanted so I could come back in the fight.
Counter-Strike, you just go get a beer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it made me feel like I wanted to watch the fight and cared about the people that were in it.
You're kind of learning from these guys, too, because you're like, oh, this is how he does this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of those different modes, camping is necessary.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're...
As it would be in real life.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, this was closer to a real-life encounter, I felt like, than any of the other first-person shooters I'd played, because they had objectives that people cared about, that you wanted to protect, that were very vulnerable. Like, you could use the rocket launcher and kill the weapon caches, so you couldn't just sit there right there waiting for somebody to come up and plant a C4. You had to actually look at the windows and see what was going on. So I thought
active
the most...
Active camping. You had to do active camping.
It was active camping. That's a good word, a good way to describe it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very realistic, very very even playing field, kind of like an old school shooter. You know, everybody comes in with the same options. There's no leveling up of anything. You know, it's just all about experience.
It feels old school, but well done. It's a well done old school style.
I don't know if it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, it's a very choppy character animation. Is it still in alpha?
I don't think it's the animation.
No, I think it's out. I think this is...
I thought this was an official release.
I don't think it's... I think it's the... there's coding, some sort of lag. The net coding, yeah. Because it's not real... The animations are all there, because I've seen them run... It's a
slight stutter.
I've seen them run smooth. Mm-hmm. So all the animations are there. There's a lot of character studying and stuff, so... That's all about probably just their servers getting bombarded and stuff like that, I think. It's probably servers.
I'm excited for another week of playing this, though. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I haven't been this excited to play a first-person shooter in a while. Since probably TF2 back in the day when you and I used to run that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely fun. Do you think it's going to hold up? Because a lot of times games will include stuff like progression, like leveling up guns or leveling up your character to keep people playing. Because after a while of playing, it gets a little old. You've done all the different stuff. You've had your fun. And you kind of keep playing because if you level this up, it's going to be a newer, funner experience. Now, this game doesn't have that. So do you think it'll hold up?
I think I personally think they designed this game specifically to avoid that, because they don't want those players that are interested in just leveling up and getting the next stuff and getting all the badges like they have in Call of Duty. I think they designed this game for the hardcore first-person shooters that want to find a map, find a server they like, and go on there every day like people did in old-school Counter-Strike, where you'd go in your favorite Ice World map and just play that for hours on end. Yeah. There was no special things involved. It was just you and the community that you had created with the server that you were in, and just playing that constantly. And I think some of the hardcore crowd for first-person shooters are going to really like it. And you know, maybe there's flaws there that I haven't seen yet, and we'll see what another week looks like on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a week on it will be great, but I don't see myself playing this for too long. But who knows? We'll see. I think it'll have
you got too many other 800 games to go.
I think it'll have a small faithful following, though. Like, I think some people will be really into it.
Yeah.
As far as the graphics go, don't expect too much. This is Source Engine, so by now the graphics are pretty dated. Not that it looks horrible.
No,
it's definitely dated. I thought it was kind of funny that you took a standard gun and put a scope on it. And that was your favorite gun. I took a kind of a sniper gun and took the scope off of it. And that was my favorite. I took the carbine and took the scope off of it. And that was my favorite. Shooting through walls, that's a whole other dynamic. You could shoot through just about everything in that game except for stuff that you think that you wouldn't be able to in another game. Anyway, two thumbs up. I really like the game.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, I'll be playing it.
So far, yeah.
All right, good so far.
So, I mean, for next week, we're going to be playing Insurgency. Is there anything else that we got coming up for next week?
I'll try some Dawn Gate.
Yeah, I might try some Dawn Gate. I don't know. I'll dig through my list of games and see if I can come up with something I'll play.
There's only 800 of them.
Yeah.
I try to beat something once a week at least. I mean, this week I beat Jazz Punk, and I played the first two. Hey-o. But, this week I beat Jazz Punk, which isn't saying much. That game was like 2.5-3 hours.
Jazz Punk?
I heard
Jazz
it was super punk. Funny.
You oh, yeah. It's hilarious. It? Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, it's 2 to 3 hours long. It's kind of an abstract first-person adventure game, kind of retro-futuristic, really unique animation style, where everything's kind of 2D, but not 2D, like extruded 2D, if you can imagine what that is. Like, if you took something 2D and stretched it out. Really unique, really funny. It's got a bunch of like Easter eggs, like especially if you're a little older, you know, and you remember the 90s. Like, it's got just all this random stuff in there. And yeah, it was a great experience. I cannot recommend buying it for like $15 though, because it's just I got it on sale. I think it was like $12 or something like that. But yeah, I think retail it's like $15. But I'll probably play through it again. With someone else, you know, it's not hard at all. It's not like a puzzle game or anything. You're basically just going through, you know, a story.
But it's no multiplayer?
No multiplayer. Oh. Yeah. But, yeah, very unique. A very unique game. But, yeah, that was cool. And I played the first two episodes of The Wolf Among Us. That was cool, too. I like that one better than The Walking Dead. I don't know if it's just because I'm so sick of The Walking Dead, but I really did enjoy that. And
are you watching a TV show?
No. No, I haven't watched the TV show since, like, season 3. I'm so burnt out on it.
Yeah.
There's only so much depression you can take in the world, I swear.
Well, it's just like an endless cycle. It's like, I don't see this going anywhere. But yeah. So yeah, a lot of insurgency next week, and I don't know. We'll see what else. It'll be a surprise.
How about you, Emilio? What do you got going on this?
I finished Deadlight this week, which the entire time I was playing through, I was like, come on, you Japanese people. Can't you get your translations by now? Can't you get them done? The voice acting was like so over the top. I'm like, oh man, this game is terrible. I almost put it down. The controls were a little iffy, and I was like, but it was so atmospheric. The graphics were really cool. Had a really cool look. The sound, the rain was really cool. The zombies sounded really cool, and I was like, okay, that's enough to keep me going. So I played it. I beat it. At the very end, I see Tequila Studios. Tequila Studios. Look at it. Out of Mexico. First game I ever saw out of Mexico. That was the greatest game ever. I was like, yeah.
First Guacamelee and now this one?
Yeah, I know. Well, Guacamelee was out of Canada.
Well, you know what's so ironic about that is Guacamelee was made in Canada and Deadlight was made in Mexico and Deadlight took place in... Oh, wait, no, that was northern, like, Washington.
It was in, like, Washington, yeah. But close enough.
I thought it was Canada.
Close to Canada.
Northern America. And
Guacamelee was in...
Guacamelee.
I have to be Mexican.
San Lucido or whatever. Yeah.
All these weird names.
All right. What about you, Chad? Anything else other than Insurgency?
I don't. Honestly, I'm probably going to play some WoW. Yeah. And I've been on the Dawngate tip recently, so I'm probably going to play that some more.
Next week, you have to tell us why you're still playing WoW, I think. Because most of the people listening... used to play. Why would they come back? Why haven't I come back?
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can talk about that.
Cool. All right. Well, all that and more next time. So this is the end of the podcast. You can contact us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Check out our Steam group, DL Gaming, and check out the website, dlgaming.net. And yeah, that's all the ways you can contact us, I think.
Stay classy, gamers.
See you later.